Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Statistically speaking, most of our youngsters will continue to be educated in mainstream in mainstream public schools. The good news, as education writer David Kerp reveals in Improbable Scholars, is that there's a sensible way to rebuild public education and close the achievement gap for all students. Indeed, this is precisely what's happening in a most unlikely place, Union City, New Jersey, a poor, crowded Latino community just across the Hudson from Manhattan. The school district once was one of the worst in the state, and they have ignored reforms in favor of proven game changers like quality early education, a word-soaked curriculum, and hands-on help for teachers. The results demand that we take notice. From third grade through high school, that Union City scores on the high-stakes state test approximate the statewide average. In other words, these inner-city kids are achieving just as much as their suburban cousins in reading, writing, and math. What's even more impressive, nearly 90% of high school students are earning their diplomas, and 60% of them are going on to college. David Kerp is the author of Improbable Scholars, The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. The book is published by Oxford, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here, Jeff.
What got you, what put this school on your radar?
Its early education program. I had worked in the Obama transition team on early education, and I'd heard about Union City. I went there and I saw one of the best early education programs in the country. I mean, a place that you wish you were 3 years old again. Life is so exciting there. And while I was there, I thought, let me look and see what's happening in the rest of the school system. I was impressed by the quality of teaching, the kind of energy the teachers had, the engagement of the kids, and I wanted to find out more. So I arranged to spend a year there.
And in spending a year there, what did you know going in, and what were you hoping to learn, and what blanks were you hoping to fill in?
That's a great question. I knew that the test scores were great. I knew the preschool was great. And I knew the district was very tight. It's a very, you know, think New Bedford of New Jersey. It's a very tight community. It's a Latino community. And I knew that that mattered a lot. But I didn't know how the system worked. If you think of education, school systems, it's like a Swiss watch. You know, when academics study these places, they basically take one piece of the watch and hold it up to the light. I wanted to see how the whole mechanism worked. And I had no idea how it worked. I had no idea how a school functioned, what was going on in a particular classroom, how the system operated. And that's what I wanted to learn about. But I also wanted to learn about the politics, because you're in Hudson County, New Jersey, which is famous or infamous for its political machine.
So how much of it do you think is, before we get into the specifics, how much of it do you think comes from the mechanics and conscious decisions, and how much of it is the makeup of the community, the tightness of that community, and the people who are in charge, which is a long way of asking how easy is it to replicate it?
Well, when I finished working in Union City, I knew that would be the first question that thoughtful people would ask. Is this a nice story about a mid-sized New Jersey city, which doesn't work anyplace else? And so I went looking around the country for school districts, big, little, with or without unions, with or without mayorally controlled school boards, well-funded, not well-funded, that were doing well. That is, they were doing better than the demographic odds would suggest in terms of improving achievement and closing the achievement gap. And what I found, whether I was in Montgomery County, Maryland, a very rich community with a very poor inner neighborhood, or Aldean, Texas, a place that nobody has ever heard of, it's Houston's poor cousin, but it has more students than Boston, or Long Beach, California, which is the third biggest city in California, what I found in all these places, what they were doing essentially the same thing. They had built a system of supports, and you began describing it in your opening, from kindergarten through high school. And they were doing that without flash and dazzle. They were doing it without the kind of inspirational hero leaders who ride in on a white horse and, you know, work their way with the system. They were building. They were slowly and steadily building a system that worked, and that the community embraced, and that the teachers embraced, and that the kids embraced.
One of the things that you take out of this is that the old model that we've been operating under isn't a bad one.
The old model isn't a bad one if it ever was actually executed properly.
Right. What
happened in the, I mean, what happened under the old model is that nominally you had this hierarchy. I mean, the superintendent is kind of the general or the CEO, but it's more like the dozy Ottoman Empire, where the wazir is off in Istanbul and everybody's doing his own thing, and the schools were doing their own thing. It's kind of a loose confederacy, and so you'd have islands of excellence amid lots of mediocrity. And so you had a system of schools. And what Union City has managed to do is to build a system, and you're right, it's old school. They're using strategies that any educator with a pulse is going to be familiar with.
So when you think about the, and I want to get into leadership, because there are programs and there are different ideals, but you do talk in the book about those in charge not intimidating, but ultimately being cheerleaders for every member, both for the students and the staff and the teachers of that school.
That's really right. I mean, who responds to intimidation except a mule? And whatever else you'd say about teachers, and I think they're wonderful. They really are some of the heroes of the book. You know, that's not what works for them. What works for them is giving them a chance to be professionals, encouraging them to collect, them to collaborate, providing mentors, more experienced teachers to help out the newbies, providing coaches who actually come in the classroom and work with these teachers. It's a kind of watch one, do one, teach one model that works in those schools. And one of the things that struck me so powerfully is that these aren't fancy teachers with great pedigrees who are flying in to save the universe. These are locals. And that's true across America, that most of the teachers in Union City were born, have grown up, went to college, and came back to live within maybe an hour's commute of that of the school that they're teaching in. And they have learned a ton of the job, and they know that the school system has their back. They know that the school system doesn't have a knife at their back.
When, and I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, but in old school, new school, but I couldn't help in reading the book thinking that so much of this seems to be common sense.
You got it. It absolutely is common sense.
Why don't we do it? Like, how did we get off that path then?
Take an example. These kids are immigrant kids. A third of them probably have come here without papers. You know, 75% of them are growing up in homes where the telenovela and not the reality TV show is on, and where Spanish is the language of the table. So what do you need to do with such kids? If you happen to be in California, where ideology reigns, you say, hey, we're not going to teach you Spanish, kid. Too bad. We're going to start you out in English because you're in America. If you're in Union City, you do what the linguists tell you to do. They really focus on getting kids fluent in their native language, because that's an important base, and then transitioning gradually to English. Why don't most places do this? Because on the one hand, the good news is that, as you say, it's common sense. The bad news is that it's hard work. I mean, that old maxim, 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration, it's absolutely true. When I talk about the administration, that chapter is entitled Grunt Work, because it's a lot of just keeping everybody connected, just making sure that people don't drift off. Just, when, for example, the test results come back, you want to make sure that the principal not only shares them with the teachers, but has some ideas as to how to improve the weaknesses that those test results have revealed. That is constant grinding work. It never ends. And another thing is, if you're a place like Union City, you're constantly, continuously improving. I mean, it's, in that sense, it's very much like business. It's not the kind of intimidation business that the market modelers talk about, but it's how successful businesses work. You keep doing what's working, and you keep looking around for ways of improving at the margin, and that's something that district has done. And it's hard. It also, the other thing that is crucial in the story is stability. Union City has had two superintendents in the past 25 years, and the present one is showing no signs of departing. That's more stable than almost any place else I can think of. But the typical urban district runs through superintendents, in less than 3 years. You can't, I don't care how good you are, how enthusiastic you are, you can't lead a school system effectively if you're going to be out the door in 3 years. So getting a school board or a mayor and a school system on the same page and realizing that it can't be done overnight, that this is a 25-year story, slow, steady improvement over 25 years. I mean, it can be done faster than that, but it can't be done overnight. I mean, if you know, we should learn a lesson from Bernie Madoff, right? If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. You know, so when you get a superintendent like Michelle Rhee in Washington, D.C., saying, you know, look, I've turned her out of the place in a year and a half, it just can't be right. And, you know, as the test score results are coming out now, the new analyses are showing it wasn't right.
Yeah. And we're just about out of time, but one of the other points when you talk about the stability is the importance you write about of having teachers who are part of that community, have been a longstanding part of that community, and really ultimately developing a farm team for future teachers who will come from that district to teach in that district.
Absolutely. I mean, I think two things are really important there. One is that the teachers, you have generations of kids who are growing up there and nearby who want to stick around and who are going to teach. Also, the administrators come from inside. That's where the farm team is as well. So the principal of the high school was a lifer. The superintendent was a lifer as well. They rose up the system. They learned how things work. Another factor that we ought to touch on is the parents. They are more engaged in Union City than any place I know, and they get a lot of support from the school. In turn, the school demands a lot from them in terms of working with their kids, helping their kids. And it works. I mean, there is huge trust. If there are two words I want the listeners to take away from this, is patience. It takes time. And trust. You've got to build a culture of trust. And it doesn't just happen. You've got to earn it if you're a school system.
David Kerp is an education expert, James Marver Professor of Public Policy at the Goldman School of Public Policy at the University of California at Berkeley. His new book, Improbable Scholars, The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. It is published by Oxford. David Kerp, a great pleasure. I thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.